Blog Talk Radio.
Don't let me go.
Saints of God, good afternoon and welcome to another weekly edition of the End Time News Report with the one and only Sister Marie and her sidekick. And who is her sidekick? I don't even remember what I call myself. Is it Wolf Tracker? Is it Radio Reformer? What? I don't even know what I'm calling myself these days. Well, her sidekick is here. We're just about ready to get into the broadcast, but let me remind you that if you're in need of prayer, send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. Also, if you want to join a church in prayer, this sidekick here is currently pastoring a small church. And we meet every Tuesday at 7 p.m. for a half hour of study concerning prayer and then 1 hour of prayer. So we meet at 7. We go to 8:30. It's a wonderful night of Bible study and prayer. And you will be blessed. If you want more information on how to join us, if you want to go to a real church and a real prayer meeting, the description or the information on how to reach me is in the description of today's broadcast. Email me, and I will set up a time where you and I can talk on the phone, and I can tell you what it's all about and what our goals are and how you can join us in praying for revival. Well, we had a great show yesterday with Sister AJ, and we were, of course, doing what we do week after week, which is just nitpick and act like Pharisees and haters, because that's no doubt what Dallas Jenkins would call Sister AJ. Now, Dallas Jenkins would call me something else. He would call Sister AJ a Pharisee and a hater, but I can't say on the air what he would call me, but that's okay. But, yeah, we did a great show yesterday, and I'm looking forward to today's show because it's the only two times during the week where I can act up and scream and shout. And after every show, my wife says, "Why do you scream so much?" And the kids, when they have friends over and they hear me screaming, who's your dad screaming at? What's going on upstairs? What's he doing? And my kids don't know where to put their faces. They're so embarrassed by me. They even tell me, "Don't even come down. Don't stay upstairs. We'll slide the hot chocolate and the cookies under the door. We don't want you coming out." Oh well, that's the dad they have. So too bad. So let me bring on Sister Marie, because Sister Marie and I just came from a prayer meeting. Sister Marie, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. And you, Romo, how are you?
I'm doing good. Ready to start barking and chasing cars on this show, too.
Yeah.
I have nothing better to
Absolutely.
Do than to do that. You know me.
Yes.
You know me.
Oh, boy. Boy.
Yeah. The crazy thing is I act like a dog, but I can't get along with the two dogs in this house. We don't get along.
Because you're the alpha male, see, and they know that.
Oh, that's what it is? That's what it is?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I guess the alpha male, that's why the alpha male is in the doghouse every day. I guess that's what it is. I'm an alpha male.
Exactly. They're going to take that down real fast.
Yeah, I'm sure.
They're conspiring against you.
Yeah, what a great song by the Detroit Mass Choir.
Oh, I know. I know. Yeah. And you know, it's a good thing I had that long song on because my Bluetooth went out for a minute and I was trying to get back in to the call with the headphones, you know.
Okay.
And
okay.
the Bluetooth blew out and then I couldn't figure out what was wrong. But by the time the song was done and I'm dancing on top of it, you know.
Right.
So
right.
I'm trying to get this, you know, back together. But
sure.
Yeah. So we're there.
Sure. Absolutely. Last week, I don't know. Last week I was on the prayer line, the same prayer line we were on today. And the phone was working okay, but the internet was acting silly. And so every now and, you know, and my phone and my internet are one and the same. You know, they're the same company, the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I couldn't figure out why my internet was acting silly, but my phone was okay. But anyway.
Same thing happened to us.
Same thing happened
to a few other people. So my daughter said maybe it's because they're switching to 5G everywhere. But, I'm not sure about that.
Okay.
Well, she kind
of
thought it could be that. She didn't say for sure because she had a problem too. And she wondered if it's the changeover to 5G in certain areas. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. It must be because I'm thinking 5G stands for five garbage. But
it's more tracking.
Yeah, exactly. More ways to monitor what you say and what you do and
mm-hmm.
buzzwords
yep.
and, you know, they got it together.
Algorithms.
So, speaking of end time news, Russia is just taking it to Ukraine, and
mm-hmm.
Biden and all these other people are going to do sanctions. And, I think Biden was sleeping like Rip Van Winkle.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, well, you know, it does make you think when you have a leader in the North rising up, you know, like Russia, you do have you start thinking, okay, the Bible talks about a leader in the North, you know, you
mm-hmm.
start to watch things. At that time.
Right.
So you keep an eye on that. But I try to, you know, keep an eye on it, but keep a distance at the same time. You know, say, okay, I'm not going to let this worry me, but I will look at it, you know.
Right.
Analyze it to see, if it follows Scripture.
Yeah.
See
yeah.
what happens next. It's the same thing. What is the next chess move here? Where is he... you know, taking this next, and that's what we have to look at. Then we know.
Now, can you play chess when you're asleep? Can Biden do that?
I don't know.
Because,
I don't know if he can do anything at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm telling
you. Poor guy.
Oh, we're the laughing stock of the world. You know that, don't you?
Sure. Absolutely.
It's bad when other countries... when these communist countries are saying, I'd hate to be them with that leader.
Right.
That's pretty bad.
Right.
Oh, when these tyrants are saying that,
Yeah, and what China's going to do, see, this is what China's going to do. China's going to say, okay, Russia took Ukraine, we can take Taiwan.
Mm-hmm.
And what is Biden going to do? He's got these two giant countries snatching stuff from him. What's he going to do?
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to do anything. And Americans
have
no stomach for war. Right? I don't want to see anybody else's kid go off to war. I don't want to see that. I don't want to see somebody else's kid come back with no arms. I don't want to see anybody's kid come back in the casket.
That's right.
So, you know. And see, here's the thing. Biden allowed his son to go make deals in the Ukraine. The kid was making millions of dollars in the Ukraine, and he was kicking up to his father some of that cash.
Yep.
Right? And the father's doing nothing now for Ukraine. See, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
It's amazing.
It is.
So.
Well, it's something we need to keep an eye on, but not to the point that we're, you know, get overly concerned. And yeah, the things we should be praying about are the things that your church is actually praying about, and that's the people
right.
who are there, you know,
mm-hmm.
brothers
yeah.
and sisters
yeah.
and people within that community that could be believers, you know,
correct.
We need to pray for them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep.
And that's
it's
exactly
sad.
What you're
it's,
doing. Yeah,
yeah,
it is.
It's sad. Sad. But there's nothing that can be done because, you know, Biden is, you know, he's asleep.
It is what it is.
It is what it
is.
That's what they voted for. That's what you got.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, you know, that's the reality.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, look at all the things that have gone downhill, you know, since,
yeah.
you know, he's been in. It's terrible. And what have the people received in return? Nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. So,
that's right.
Yeah.
It's bad news.
Well, it's awful. It's awful. But like you
yep.
said, Bible prophecy has to be fulfilled. We're not ignoring
that's right.
the Bible prophecy, and we know that everything has to come to pass, and
mm-hmm.
and that America's in decline. America
mm-hmm.
is in decline. It's
we have
just,
a,
you know.
I just saw an article before I went on where there's a church in my state about an hour and a half from here where they're allowing a drag queen to host the church, the service.
Oh, you got to send me that article. If it's an article, send it to me. Please.
I will.
But,
I will.
Yeah, yeah. I got this thing with drag queens. I don't know what it is, but I got this thing with drag
yeah.
queens, and they're scary.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, I was afraid of clowns, really
wow.
afraid of clowns. And they look like clowns. They look like clowns, but they're dressed up as women.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's that's
oh,
a scary bunch of people. That thing,
yeah.
that clip, that video that you sent me last week on those drag queens, And the
mm-hmm.
ignoramus parents high-fiving the drag queens as the drag queens are leading their children in a dance.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
The apostasy.
Definitely unclean altars in these churches.
Yeah, yeah.
you
absolutely.
Know?
Absolutely.
Definitely. So.
Sure.
Something we need to stay away from. I mean, it's crazy. So, you know. The underground church really makes sense right now. I mean, more than ever.
I could not find a church to go to. I could, and I,
right.
and my wife kept, every time she took me to one and I sat there and I made noise and I embarrassed the poor lady,
mm-hmm.
she would scold me in the car and tell me the next time I would stay home and I would not be allowed to go, you know, and so, so then she was going with the kids on trying to find it, and then they would come back and tell me the stories, and, you know, you just can't
mm-hmm.
find a church, you know.
That's right.
You know,
that is right.
So it's sad. It's
yeah.
It's just very, very sad, very sad.
That's right.
You know, and I feel bad for so many brothers and sisters in Christ who are looking, and they can't find a congregation.
Well, they've been infiltrated, you know.
Yeah.
That's the problem. And it's the leaders. A lot of the leaders let the people down, let the sheep
sure.
down, you know. They weren't paying attention. You know, they were more
right.
into themselves
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't watching. I mean,
right.
The sheep were leaving. The sheep knew there was something wrong. The Lord was gathering the sheep out away from
yep.
the leaders.
Yep, yep, yep. Yeah, it's sad. It's sad.
Pretty
but,
sad. It's pretty yep. sad.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think about last week? Definitely this religion, I would say, involves technology and science. That's their God in this religion. That's who they rely on. That's what they rely on. Nothing to do with God of Scripture. This is, I believe, what we've seen so far. It's about technology. You know, and the
right.
science. You hear that being promoted today. What do you think? What do you think? Before I go through the title.
Yeah, I mean, think about how our whole life is just marked by technology. Try taking people's phones away today and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
Try taking a phone away from somebody. They'll have a heart attack, or they'll fall on the floor and have a tantrum. People can't
right.
be without technology today. People can't. It's like, believe it or not, technology is like the new idol.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Exactly.
Because look, people don't go to. You look at the vast amount of them. They don't go to church anymore, but they will go.
Mm-hmm.
To technology. So technology is like the church. They'll spend hours and hours and hours and hours on that phone, distracted,
yeah.
You know, spending time on nonsense, and at the same time pledging allegiance to the trackers because they're tracking them. They give
mm-hmm.
them apps. Yeah, here, join this free app. No, it's not free. They're not free. They are chasing
mm-hmm.
you down. They're tracking
yep.
you. They know your every move.
That's right.
You know, how, like you said last week, how was it ever possible for the Antichrist to track all these people and know where they are and how to,
yeah.
and not only that, but how to go get you? Because now,
right.
look, everything in your house has a tracking system on it. Everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right? So
yeah.
where are you going to go that he's not going to be able to find you? You know, I was watching
nowhere
Forensic Files 2. You know, there used to be just Forensic Files, and now there's Forensic Files 2. Well, they were showing
mm-hmm.
an episode where a wife had her husband murdered, right?
Right.
Her and a boyfriend murdered the husband. And then the wife, they told the wife, listen, it's funny because you said that you were over here in this part of town, but the tower told us that you were over there.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, no, I wasn't over there, Mr. Police Officer. I wasn't over there. I was home baking cookies. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So they let her go home. She calls back an hour later. I want to confess. So she comes back an hour later and she says, yeah, I was over there because my boyfriend had my cell phone and he's the one who killed my husband.
Right.
So then when they bring the boyfriend in, the boyfriend says, no, she was over there and this is where I was at and this was my number. That wasn't my number.
Mm-hmm.
So that tower was pinging off those two numbers and they were both sent to jail
right.
for life without parole. See, they're going to get you. If they don't get you through DNA, they'll get you through fingerprints. They'll get you through camera. You know, you're driving by and there's a camera in the bank that takes it looks at your car and takes your picture of your face. They're
mm-hmm.
going to get you because technology is everywhere. There's nowhere to escape.
Yeah, that's right.
Where are you going to go?
I mean, they even have these heat-seeking things now, you know.
Sure.
Technology. They can see in the dark. They can see through walls now.
Yeah.
You know, somebody hiding in a wall. They
right.
can see the technology we have today. So, and I don't yeah. see this going in a different direction. There's no way. I've tried everything. They may take the internet down for the people, you know, but I don't see the, their technology that they're using going anywhere. I really don't.
Listen,
it's going to advance.
Yeah.
They're
the
not going
why,
backwards.
Yeah. The reason why I don't think they're going to take the technology away from the people is, one, it's the best way. Let's say Antichrist shows up today and he wants to round up all Christians.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He makes it harder for himself if he takes down the technology. Why?
Right.
Because it's through the technology that he can track our every step.
Mm-hmm.
And you know he's going to yeah. round up the Christians. You just know the Bible says he's going to round up the Christians.
Well, sooner or later, you won't be without technology unless they're controlling it, you know.
Right,
sure. Your ability to communicate with one another will
right.
be gone, I think, eventually, you know, to reason.
Yeah.
And that's what they're doing. You know, you think about, like, what happened with the pubs in England, you know. They spaced people out, you know, so they
right.
couldn't communicate because that was the gathering place where
right,
ideas,
right.
they shared ideas and stories and, you know, they separated all the people. Now, after
right.
the mandates were over, certain mandates, they said, you know, this is a great idea. Just in case, we'll just keep them
sure.
separate.
Sure.
You know. So they
sure.
got that technology, and they got the ability to separate people from one another so they couldn't discuss what's going on. And they keep it that way. Then it doesn't, you know,
right.
once something, they have a change, they don't go back on it. They really don't. They can fall back on that at any time, but they don't go backwards. They're advancing forward all the time.
Right. Right, right.
It
right.
only looks like we get a reprieve.
Sure. look at what Trudeau did in Canada with the truck drivers, right? He
oh,
said, okay,
boy.
It's easy.
Yeah.
Now we can track your bank accounts. We're going to close them up. Now
mm-hmm.
we're going to take your insurance. We're going to cancel your insurance. Now you no
right.
longer have plates. Those plates, they're no good now. And he did that all through
right.
technology. All through technology
yep.
he did all that. And, you know.
So I think this
so,
is right on with that, you know, as far
absolutely.
As that being the,
sure.
the religion, part of that
sure.
religion and belief system. You know, they worship it. They worship the technology. It gives them control.
Right.
Total control. So.
Right.
Oh, well. Well, we'll see.
That's what,
you know, that's all
that's
we can
we
do.
That's where we are today. That's where
yeah.
we are today.
Yep. Yep.
All right.
I mean, we see this in front of us. So, well, this is was done. It's called, the audio is called The New World Religion, and it was done by Michael O'Fallon of Sovereign Nations. Now, the description reads, again, since the creation of Earth and its inhabitants, it has been widely understood that as soon as a tyrant takes over control of a tribe, takes control over a religion, or takes control over another civilization, that tyrant will demand three things: property, obedience, and worship. In this episode of Public Occurrences, Michael O'Fallon explores the new religion of the new societal gods that all of mankind are being told that they must worship and obey. Strangely enough, many of these cultic ideas have their genesis from within our own camp. Within Baptist camps. And we found out last week that was something called the Brotherhood of the Kingdom within the Baptist community.
Right.
You know. So
right.
looking
to,
at the property.
Be, and, yeah, I'm
go ahead,
sorry. And to
your...
be fair to the Baptists, it's Neo-Baptist. It's not Spurgeon Baptist,
right,
or 1689
right,
Baptist. You know, it's just
right,
like it's like the new Pentecostals today, right? The Word of Faith,
mm-hmm,
people. Those are the new Pentecostals. Well, that's not my grandmother's Pentecostalism.
Right.
Right.
Remember, I talked to you about the rise of the new Calvinists. Remember,
right,
we were talking,
yep,
about that. That has a lot to do with that.
Yeah. Yeah. But they're not real Calvinists. They're fake ones. They just,
mm-hmm,
take the name. They just take the name to infiltrate.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yep.
That's it. So.
That's it. Yeah. To be fair to the Baptists, that's totally true. These are the people that creep in, and
yep,
these are the ones that creep in. These are not actually, like you said, Spurgeon Baptists, but. You know what? They talk like a Baptist. They walk like a Baptist.
Sure.
But they aren't a Baptist. That's the difference. It's not like the Dutch, you know. These people are good at what they do. They'll attend the universities, Baptist. They'll learn the lingo,
mm-hmm,
you know. Same thing happened during the Reformation. The same thing happened back then. The Jesuits.
Correct. That's what the Jesuits did. You did a whole series on them, how they infiltrated everything.
Mm-hmm.
Every department of American life, they infiltrated.
Right? That's right.
So they leave no stone unturned.
That's right.
None.
That's right.
And the crazy thing is, these people, they are like dedicated to this. To this crazy mission.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, really. You know, when you look at Christians, they have dedicated. These nuts are dedicated.
Yes.
Yeah,
if
really
we were
dedicated.
As dedicated to the Lord as we should be, as they are to this mission, you know, we'd be doing good. We
sure
would. Because, you know, if you look at Christianity and what's happened to it, and how a lot of the people within the church are slumbering and sleeping, you know, why
mm-hmm.
this is going on. I mean, and they're dedicated, and, you know, their belief system is totally different, but yet they believe in the mission. They believe
right.
in this utopia to the point that they give their lives to it, and then they wait for the next person to rise up. You know, I mean, think about what it takes to be that dedicated, how bad it is, you
right,
know.
Right, right,
if only
sure.
we could view things. You know, and another thing about controlling property, one of the things he talked about, if you look at your property taxes, you're paying taxes to your township on the property that you already own. Okay?
Right.
So
right.
technically, you own the house, but not the land it sits on. So
mm-hmm.
you're still renting the land. So if
right.
you don't pay, though, on the land, they take the house, too.
Sure.
Just that simple.
Right.
Do you ever own the land that you own? No. Because you're paying rent, technically.
Sure.
The township.
Right.
They call it
yep.
taxes. They say it's the school, this and that, you know, it's other things. No, it's not. You're paying for the land. And that would give them the right when the land goes, if you don't pay for the land, they get the house too.
Right.
So, you know.
They get the whole, kit and caboodle.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
You know,
it's
you
amazing.
Have different tyrants all through history we talked about that had land grabs. You know,
yeah.
all through biblical history, we see that, you know. And now we see a land grab going on by people like Ted Turner, Bill Gates, you know, right down to your local government, I can tell
mm-hmm.
you. Now, I notice that stuff. You're in a – I'm in a small town, but you're in a smaller town, I think you are, than I am. And I can tell you, I'm in like the outskirts of a town, you know, 15
mm-hmm.
minutes.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's probably, it might be a little bigger than yours, okay? But I can tell you, I notice all the land grabs going on. I notice, you know, we have basically one real estate that has the handle on everything. You know, he has his hand in every deal within my community. There's one. There's other realtors in town, but this one, for some reason, gets all the great deals, you know. And it always
yeah.
ends up going to the township, goes in for the land grab. And
wow.
then they create it under the guise of doing something better in the community, okay? So 2 days ago, I was listening. I saw a news article 2 days ago, and I thought this fits in well with what I'm saying. Now, this is in Tennessee because this is happening all over, locally, our local government, and we don't realize it. So I just want to play audio one. It's a small clip, and it shows you how they do the land grab or what they say and how they get take over, slowly taking over properties, okay, within a community. This is a little place in Tennessee. So if you want to play audio one.
Sure. Here we go.
We begin at 5 o'clock with that story from Bluntville, the middle and elementary schools, two schools that serve the community.
Is that too loud?
No, that's fine.
We begin at 5 o'clock with that story from Bluntville, the middle and elementary schools, two schools that served the community for decades until they closed last May.
Now, the Sullivan County Commission is considering purchasing the buildings, but not before having a good look around. Nick Dugan has more on the commission's visit.
After sitting empty for months, the Sullivan County Commission toured the old Bluntville Middle and Elementary Schools today, hoping to soon put the building again to good use.
The potential of those properties is great.
Sullivan County Mayor Richard Venable and a handful of county commissioners took a tour of the large Bluntville School's campus with an eye to repurpose these buildings for the benefit of the county and its citizens.
You don't get this opportunity very often, and we certainly need to look at the potential for it.
Venable says maybe a wellness center to house the county's wellness program, or perhaps the future home of the Bluntville Little League and other youth sports. Mayor Venable and Commissioner Stanley both see the additional office space it could provide as well.
Some of these buildings could be used for some of the departments here that's in our courthouse.
We're in an old historic courthouse now, and some of it's not ADA compliant, so that's another problem that would solve for us.
I think it'd be a lot cheaper on the taxpayers to take some existing buildings and the schools that were closing down and renovate those.
Venable says it's likely the county will get multiple uses out of the building if they decide to purchase it, understanding the value that this place continues to hold for many neighbors.
This area is extremely important to the community of Bluntville. Having it also an additional importance to all the citizens of Sullivan County makes it doubly important.
In Bluntville, Nick Dugan, News Channel 11.
So in other words, they took taxpayer dollars to build a school. They take
mm-hmm.
the property back. And you know, the taxpayers don't own it. They wind up owning it.
That's right. That's exactly right. You got it. And the thing was, it was closed because of an ADA complaint. Something was wrong with the building, yet they're buying it. They said, no, it's not in compliance, you know?
Right.
You have to upgrade. You have to spend all this money to upgrade. Unfortunately, there's not enough tax dollars for that, you know?
Right.
For you to upgrade. So we'll go in and we'll buy it. And it's a school, and I see that happening here. They're closing schools and shoving the students in one area, forcing the students to go to a different area.
Wow.
That has a lot to do with the schools where I'm at. I mean, there was a huge school not far from where I live. And why did it close? I mean, it was full. No, they redistributed those kids into other areas. And
wow.
The school sat there. And what's funny is one of the biggest churches, fastest growing churches in the area, bought the school. Hmm.
Amazing.
That should tell you something.
Yeah.
And what's
sure.
amazing about it is the police also use that as a parking lot when they want to, or they use the church for different things, the police do.
Mm-hmm.
Got big. Now, this guy had a small church, little church, and for some reason he needed that building.
What
makes
for?
You wonder.
What do you need it
well,
for?
Well, so he could have his church grow. What church growth? I don't know.
Right.
But interestingly enough, their youth pastor was just charged with fondling or having with some. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So here we go. You see?
Yeah. Sure.
But the school buildings, that was one of the first things I noticed because I have grandchildren in school, you know?
Mm-hmm,
and it's like,
mm-hmm.
why are they taking, you know, you already have 60, 70 students, you know? Why do you want to put them in with 200 students? You see
right.
what I'm saying? It
yeah.
didn't make any sense. And
no sense
who paid
whatsoever.
For that building? Who
right.
is paying on that building, the taxes? So, you know.
Yeah.
And another thing about obedience, there, they demand obedience law. All the monarchs did that, you know, throughout history. And by doing that, we see that with everyone. They set themselves up, and we know that from the different monarchs, that they considered themselves gods. I mean, they were. They set themselves up as gods always, and that's how they run their kingdoms. And we have lots of examples of that, as gods, not as gods. So
right.
We have another short audio, and this is pastors who oppose mandates are crazy and disobedient to the gospel. Now, this clip, this is just another short clip. Since we're on the SBC and we were talking about it, this is Russell Moore, a.k.a. Eddie Munster,
right.
To me. And this is one of the men who crept in and became a leader in the SBC. And I think this is one of the people O'Fallon is talking about.
Okay.
You know, as far as a cultic leader that
right.
came in through the Baptist camp. In this, Russell is stating that any church growth that we see now is due to people wanting to assemble together in disobedience to the government mandates. When in reality,
really?
Yeah. When in reality, we're told that we are to assemble together because it's biblical.
Right.
That's exactly
sure.
what we're told to do.
Right.
And they're leaving, that's, you know, the assembly of people are doing what they're told to do. And many of the people have left because of failed leadership. You know, they failed them.
Right.
You know, the leaders are nothing more. Some of these leaders are plants from the devil in the church. So the whole idea of this now is they're attempting, not only did they take down a lot of the SBC, what they're doing is they want to try to ruin the true gospel with false teaching. That's part of the agenda, because their agenda calls for a religion of science and technology, And that doesn't fit what the Bible tells us, you know, the scriptures,
right.
What the scripture tells us. So they have to take down sound people. So why wouldn't they go to the SBC if you think about it? Because they were sound. The Baptists, the one thing you can say about them, their theology was sound, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Not all of them, but, you know, you get your 1689, where would they want to infiltrate the most, you know?
Right.
So someone like you, bro, these are the people that they're looking to take down. Honestly,
well,
and they're using the excuse of government mandates to do that, disobedience. They're saying that you're drawn to a church because you want to be disobedient. You know, you have a leader who says, okay, you don't have to wear a mask and you don't have to listen to what's going on. You know, your authority is from God. You know, that's your authority, and they're saying, no, no, no. They're only doing this. They're only joining together because they want to go against the government. Do you see the setup here?
Yeah.
What they're trying to do?
Yep. And,
okay.
And like you said, the scriptural reason for us getting together is because the Bible says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. So,
he's twisting this, and thank goodness, he's at SBC, but he did the damage. See?
Yeah.
He did. The damage is done. But what he's doing now is he's taking it a step further, and he's saying, okay, this is a setup for persecution, I see.
Mm-hmm.
These are disobedient people, disobedient to the gospel, to the government. These people are terrible. So I see a setup here, but let me know when you listen to it. It's only, couple minutes long.
Okay.
This is Russell Moore, by the way.
Yeah, I can tell by his mug.
Eddie.
I was talking a friend not long ago who was talking about where he lives in rural Michigan. And he said there's a church. He said it ran about 150, 200 people. And now it has suddenly exploded over the last year. And it's running over 1,000. And he said, why do you suppose that is? And I said, let me guess. And it's not evangelism. It's that the pastor announced that COVID's a hoax and we're going to fight against masks and vaccine mandates and so forth, and this assembled a crowd. And he said that's exactly what happened. And I see that happening all over the country where pastors are saying crazy has become a church growth strategy, not so much at reaching unbelievers, but pulling believers out of churches because it gives this picture of conviction. Is what's happening in evangelicalism, is it just a reflection of these larger trends? Or in your view, is there something unique to American evangelical Protestantism?
Yeah, I guess I would say that there's a philosopher in the 1950s, or a psychologist called Eric Fromm, who said, of all kinds of loneliness, moral loneliness is the most lonely. And so if you feel you're morally alone, that you don't have a purpose for living, a meaning, then you will flock to whatever gives you that sense of meaning. And to me, the shame for the church is, I think I've had a sentence in that piece you referred to up top, that it's not that Fox News was so exciting, it was the candle of Christian formation was so dim. And so the Christian church, the Gospels, give you a moral project to grow more Christ-like and to grow more gracious. And yet that wasn't doing it for people for some reason. I think it's just a failure of formation.
Wow, his brain failed to form. That's what failed to form.
Oh, do you see the setup here?
Yeah.
I mean, you listen to that and most people say that's a setup. That's
sure,
to say,
sure.
Okay, this group of people that assembled together, they're just, they're,
mm-hmm.
because they're going against the government, you see?
Right.
You tell me Russell Moore isn't a part of this.
Absolutely. He's a plant.
Yeah.
And listen, he's like that Schwab guy. What's that slob's Klaus. Name? What's his name? Klaus Schwab. They're in the same team, those two.
Yes. Yep. Exactly.
Now I don't know.
Exactly.
I don't know if they've ever met, but they're promoting the same gibberish.
Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And these leaders help push the agenda along, these leaders in the church. I mean, as far as the
right.
church world goes, they're helping to promote this. So, you know, they're part of the team. It's just their ministry, and these are ministries, trust me, they view them as ministries. They view each group, I don't care if it's music, if it's whatever it is, the music industry, the movie industry, entertainment, these are ministries to them, and
yep.
these are the leaders. This is what they consider ministry. You have to make that connection, you know. This is their leader for their agenda, and that's what we're seeing. So, you know, it's too bad that a lot of people didn't see that about Russell years ago.
Right.
Because I never
right.
liked Russell. You know, I never bought a thing he said, but, you know, a lot of people did. A lot of people did. But he walked like a duck. You
sure.
know, he talked like a duck, but there was just that something about him. And I
yep.
think you even
yep.
see it. You
sure.
probably see it. There's just something. If he were saying the right thing, okay, all the right words, if he was, you know, exegeting scripture correctly,
right.
you would still say there's something about him that's unusual, that's different. You know, I got
Absolutely.
That feeling from him. Yep.
Sure.
Okay. You know, the others worship, and we know, you know, that perfect example, and I think Michael uses that in here with Nebuchadnezzar, you know. He built a statue for himself. He commanded people to bow and worship it, you know, while the music played, because the music also was a form of worship. You know, and if we look at the book of Revelation, we see the same things happening there with the Antichrist, except Jesus isn't in the fire with them. He throws them in the fire. That's the difference between
yep.
what happened there. Three Hebrew children, you see. Jesus is not in there. They'll be in there with us, but as far as they go, they're going in the fire. So, anyway.
But
so if you have
now,
anything, do you have anything?
Let
to...
me just go back to Russell Moore just 1 minute. I'm curious. What is the bum doing today?
Oh, you know, I don't know. He accepted a position in something, and I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I can find out, because I don't follow him now. I think it's a secular, of course it would be, some type of secular position, but I'll check that out.
Yeah.
You know.
Because he looks greasy.
You know.
Yeah,
yeah,
he looks greasy to me.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
That's one of the things.
Yeah, that's a dead give. You know, you see a greasy guy, you just say, yeah, there's something wrong with this guy. There's something
mm-hmm.
wrong with him. Now, of course,
he's
saying
remember.
All the right things. He's saying all the right
mm-hmm.
things, but you just know he's greasy.
Yeah. And what's amazing is these are the same people that sat on the stage with John MacArthur one time. So I have to say, John knows it now. But where was his discernment back then? And I like John MacArthur. I really do. I think
right.
he's 80-some years old. He's doing a good job. However,
sure.
where was his discernment in that with Russell
yeah.
Moore?
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, J.D. Greer, Al Mohler. Where was his discernment? Because people...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know any
saying,
of those
Wait
guys.
A minute.
I don't know any of those guys.
They're all the head of the SBC. They were all heads of the SBC at one time. And they're all, you know, they're all infiltrators. So,
amazing.
It is. So I know we got sidetracked on that, but there were a couple things there that, you know, since we were talking about that, and I knew that Michael was referring to the SBC leaders, although he didn't, you know, precisely name them that I know of in there. And, you know, the property, one of the things that was, he said that they would take property, and I think there's a land grab going on. I can see it, and most people can see it now in different places, in the different areas where they live. And will that extend to personal property? I say, yeah, somewhere down the line. They can make your taxes so high you can't pay them.
Sure.
You know?
Sure.
Keep your wages low and the taxes high. You know, what are you going to
do? Yep. And the thing is, I mean, okay, so you can start a revolution again, and it'll get bloody.
Mm-hmm.
It's just going to get bloody because they're going to send the FBI in. And what are you going to be? Are you going to be another David Koresh trying to protect your wife and children while the FBI is bombing your compound?
There's a perfect, that bro is a perfect example of how far you get. You see, that was a good example of when you decide, when they're telling you, the government, that they're going to do this. That was like a moment I couldn't believe when that happened.
Right.
I looked at that and I thought, surely, you know, there's women and children. Surely there's a better way to get these people out.
Mm-hmm.
That is exactly what they can do. And that was years ago.
Years ago.
When they want your land, when they want you out.
Yeah.
When you try to build a compound. But that's all biblical.
Right.
Go ahead.
The thing is, we're not standing up for a false messiah like David Koresh. I'm just using that as an example as how the FBI has the muscle to just go into a compound and just, you know, burn it down until, you know, they get rid of you.
Right.
You know, when
and don't
when you
think
look
for
at,
a second I, there isn't cult leaders out here now.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you look at what the police did to those poor people in Canada a couple of days ago. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they unleashed the police, and the police went on them like rabid pit bulls and were just, you know, arresting truckers and doing what they had to do.
Yep.
Yeah, it's getting
See,
it's
that's
getting
forcing
out of control.
The hand. Yeah,
yep.
And that's where, you know, police, that was our objection to, you know, we need to defund the police. Well, who are you funding then? The military.
Right.
You know, that's an example of defund the police, and you get the David Koresh situation with the military or with the FBI and things like that. You defund, and you're going to get the other. Either way, there's going to be control, and you don't want that. And the bloodshed will happen.
Oh, yeah.
How it's going to happen, which way it's going to happen, you know, that will be seen. You know, we'll see how that goes. But
Congress will say, we want to hold hearings. We want an account as to what happened. But Attorney General, what did you do? When did the order was given? And blah. And then 25 years later, who's talking about it but an old rabid radio sidekick, me? You know, other than that,
exactly.
Nobody's talking about it.
Yeah.
Right?
And what's...
So...
Yeah.
All those
and that was an offshoot of the SDA.
Yeah.
Offshoot of the SDA church. And interestingly enough, a lot of those people were from England. The SDA in England. Just saying.
Yep.
That parish.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Come all the way
crazy.
Over to just, you know... Yeah, yeah. And that's big right now, too. The SDA, believe it or not, is rising, that church and membership.
Yeah,
as we speak. They're everywhere.
Yep.
They believe, they're a lot of where you see the doomsday preppers, That's SBA.
Yep.
So.
Yep, they believe in that.
You know, I once had an argument with one of them. I had a debate with a SBA member, and they were trying to convince me about the Sabbath. You know, that's the whole thing with them. Ellen G. White, you know, the Sabbath.
Right, right.
And trying to convince me, you know, that the Sabbath, you know, for the Christian was a different day because they call themselves Christian and stuff, and how no one is supposed to cook or do anything on the Sabbath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing.
Right.
Absolutely nothing.
Sure.
So I said, okay, so let's say you go to your, is it okay to drive? Yeah. Well, what happens, I said, if you're driving down the road and you are in a car accident, okay, and you have to go to the hospital. So who's going to pick you up if they're Sabbath members, you know, or SBA members, the ambulance driver, so he can't work that day, right? So he
right.
can't take you to the hospital. Let's say that the worker at the hospital was an SBA member. They can't treat you because they
right.
can't work on a son, you know. So I'm going on, and I gave the whole scenario, and the only argument back was, well, there's certain people that can work that are allowed. That's the answer I got.
Right.
You know,
right.
Well, it would be okay for the ambulance driver, and it would be okay.
And everybody else.
Well,
and everybody else.
Yeah. But I said, yeah, but you're adamant that you can't work on that day. That's for everyone. So now you're telling me that only a few people are allowed to work that day. So either you're adamant that you're against it, or you're not, you know.
Right.
You allow
right.
some people. So who chooses who's going to work and who isn't? You know, they had no answer. They had no answer for that.
Sure.
Because their whole argument was, you are not supposed to do anything on the Sabbath, anything. That was the whole argument. That's the argument that they came,
right.
you know, with. So, you know,
complete,
and they have a different
silly.
Sabbath day.
yeah, completely silly. Completely silly.
Yep. So,
makes
anyway,
no sense.
Just a little story. Yep. Just a little story about them. But
good
okay.
argument. Good
okay.
argument. One day, if I ever meet one of those, I'm going to use the same argument. I'm going to say, I got this from a wise young lady here, so let me put it to you, and try to untie this what kind of quote knot is that? What kind of knot was that last week? The Gordian knot?
Yes.
Yeah, I'll say to them, okay, here's the riddle. Try to untie this knot, you knucklehead.
Mhm. Yeah. See, you just hit them with. I think when you go back with their own teaching. You just go back to what they're adamant about, you know, within their doctrine. And that's the one thing, because they think, you know, worship on a Sunday is the mark of the beast, right?
Sure.
So they have their Saturday Sabbath, you know, and it's okay if you're having a Saturday Sabbath, you know, and then your argument is you can't do anything, nothing.
Right.
You know. You know, like
right.
The Pharisees, going back to the Pharisees. And I said, well, what happened? You know, it would be like what Jesus said, actually. You know, there was someone healed on the Sabbath. And why was he healed? Because, you know, he needed healing.
Right.
You know, and he's
That's
Lord
it.
Of the Sabbath. So that
sure.
was the argument that I started with. You know, it's the same one that Jesus did. When someone needs something, you know, you do it. But the, you know, the Pharisees. They have a different idea on that. So, anyway. Okay, we'll go back to Mr. O'Fallon before we get off on something, get too far into this. So, now you quit that at 21:53, but you said you might like to go back. It does only run, I believe it runs to like 28.
Okay.
It ends at 28. So,
all right, let me bring it back. Let me bring it back to 19.
Okay. It's a good place to start.
and progress. Number one, the failure of the old individualism. It appears, for one thing, that we have been most neglectful and wasteful of our human resources. We have been intent on the project of developing the natural resources of the nation, and we have done this at an unparalleled rate. But in all this, we have been neglectful of higher values and have been wasteful of the most valuable asset, the lives given to us. We have built our cities and developed our industries with little regard for the health, the happiness, the welfare of the people. It appears that the industrial processes have been regardless of the welfare of the people and the larger life of the nation. Each industry has been controlled by its own managers, usually by a few men, whose immediate object was profits. It has worked the spirit and hope out of men and has left life devoid of eternal values. It appears further that special privilege and industry autocracy have exploited the people and have made a malign influence upon the nation. The control of industry has fallen into a few hands, and these are able to determine the destiny of millions of men. And they have used this power to enrich themselves out of the necessities of the people. This evil became especially patent in the early stages of the World War. During the past years, there has been a marked increase in the cost of living. When the war began, what did we find? Practically every group in the land used the war as a plea for raising the price of everything they could control. And so we found individuals and corporations growing enormously rich out of the greatest calamity of the race. They have allowed self-interest to determine their attitude and conduct. Thus, the individualistic doctrine, in its negative aspect at least, leads to the reign of capitalism in industry and of self-interest in trade. The Baptist Samuel Zane Batten goes on to say this, quote, "Society must abolish special privileges of whatever kind, social, political, or economic. It must break the stranglehold of capitalism upon labor, industry, and life. The people must regain the lost right to the earth and its resources. Woe to those who oppose the coming of social justice and would keep the people down. The processes of industry must come under the direct supervision and coordination of society. The time was when the individual who wanted to stand on his feet and secure justice had to depend upon his own strong arm. In the progress of man and the development of society, we have long since passed this stage. In what we call the state, we recognize the principle of social control, and we substitute the general, definite, impartial will for the uncertain, arbitrary, personal will. The time has come when men in their economic relations must agree to come under the control of society and to have their interests interpreted and measured by the common will and welfare. We must create a more just and efficient social order."
Well, that's what the Pope says, right? And that's what Slav says. And that's what all these people say, but they're the ones controlling and making the policies, just a few.
Exactly.
And as you have pointed out, most of the people making the policies are unelected officials, like Fauci.
Mm-hmm.
We got that all from your series, right? All these unelected officials that nobody voted for them, they're the ones telling you and me how to live.
That's right. That's right. And I can give you an example that just happened in my area. Now, all the powers, when Gretchen was stripped of her power by a good attorney, a Christian attorney, a constitution attorney, went in and she actually fought and technically they'd have to go against, she locked it up, so they'd have to go against the constitution, you know, to keep those powers. So she lost it. But the thing Gretchen did is she gave her powers to the health department. Well, turned them over.
Right.
You know, this lady was unelected, and she was making all the mandates locally following Gretchen. Okay.
Right.
Well, she was, she, there was a board meeting, school board meeting, about the kids and math. Parents, standing room only, went to that meeting and objected against her mandates, stating that it's unconstitutional. They couldn't, there wasn't enough room to put them. Well, now you have a few city council people sitting there and all these parents, and so they're going to think about it, right? She was let go.
Wow.
You know, it's like she's not really technically fired yet, but they're not renewing her contract.
Right, right.
When it comes up. Because they saw people. There were enough people there that understood their rights. And they weren't having it with their kids.
Yeah.
And they are elected, you see.
Sure.
Those people sitting there, they were elected. And they saw, you know, the support or, you know, of parents standing together. And they knew that their time's limited. They had to go, you know, they just said, well, we're going to split the position into two to make it more accountable. In other words, she wasn't, they weren't going to, she could reapply. They said you could reapply, you know, if you want. Well, you know, they're not going to over your back, you know. But yeah, that happened locally.
Sure.
You know, unelected person pulling all the strings, and it went too far for the people, and the people, you know, stood up. Well, until that happens, you know, the people say, you know, we're not doing this. That pushes them back a little.
Right, right.
You know, giving in totally. Giving in totally to everything just makes it easier. They have to have, with a nonviolent, I mean, these parents went there, and what were they armed with? The Constitution, you see? They'd already listened to what happened to the governor with the Constitution and her right. So they went in and started to explain, we have an unelected official here. See?
Right.
Taking our rights, so they knew that. So, and this religion is neglectful of the welfare of the people. They eliminate, and they will, the social, political, and economic privileges from the people. And he will say that. That's all the people, not just a few people.
Right.
So when we see the different groups coming in today exploiting the people, like CRT, BLM, the social justice movement, these people are being used to exploit the people. But in the end, the only people that will benefit is the higher-ups. That's it. Nobody's going to benefit from all these programs and all this, you know, these movements that they're pushing.
Right, right.
Because, and all you would have to do is use common sense with that. If you think about it, when you have, let's say, standing in the pulpit, someone like, you know, or anywhere, standing up, you have like a white, older, rich man, you, look at Biden, you know, telling people that a white, older, it's the white, older, rich men that are the problem in society, and people say amen to that. Well, he's technically talking about himself. He is
the problem.
Right,
but he doesn't resign. But he doesn't resign.
Yeah, exactly. Or on the other hand, if you have, and you pointed this out, you have a rich black man in society telling everyone that no black man can become rich in society. You know, but he's rich, and the people agree with that.
Right.
They look right at him and agree that that's true, that, yeah, you can't get ahead in society, you know, by the color of your skin. That's not true. That's not true today. And, but yet they're telling, and people are saying, yeah, that's right, not even considering. I mean, who is the oppressor here? It's the one pushing the agenda, the narrative. They're pushing the narrative, or actually they're speaking of themselves, you know, and they're saying you can't do this when they've done it themselves. So it's crazy. It's crazy.
Yep.
But that's a few things we've noticed lately, we've talked about lately. And you, especially in the sport, talking about all these sports figures, you know, who are rich and saying that no one can make it, why they're rich. I mean, this religion that they have is neglectful of the welfare of all people, unless you're in that society. It's all people, all of us. So none of these other groups mean anything that are rising up. They're all part of the agenda to separate, to get you to believe that there's something in it for you that's going to benefit you, and it's not. It's just not. They have to take down capitalism. We know that. And that's what they're trying to do. It's as simple as that. But go ahead. I'm just pouting now.
Well,
go ahead.
No. We've made the point about how LeBron James says there's racism in the country, yet, you know, he's got the biggest contract in the NBA year after year. So, you know, this is a donkey talking. You know,
or right.
when another football player is standing, you know, very few people get to actually have their feet on an NFL playing field, right? There's tens of thousands of college football players who never get drafted year after year. Only a handful of people ever have their feet touch a professional football field, and yet they claim racism. Wait a minute, you're in the league. You were drafted.
Right.
You signed the contract to put on that uniform. You're getting paid what would take me 10 years to make financially. You make in 1 year. Maybe 20, what I make in 20 years. You make in 1 year.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And you're claiming racism? Put me on that plant. Please put me on that plantation. I'd love to be on that plantation.
Exactly.
So,
well, the whole
idea
here is it doesn't make sense. And when donkeys talk, don't say amen.
Right.
You know?
Yeah,
that's it. When donkeys speak, don't just say amen to it. Because, I mean, I'm sitting there, and when Biden starts in about talking about how oppressive the white privileged men are, and I'm thinking about his son, who's a drug addict and has all this money. Has all the money in the world to blow on whatever, you know. Is he talking about his own son? No. It's that person over there. But, you know, he just described himself, and people are agreeing with that. That makes no sense.
Well, he's talking to dummies, you know. Dummies are the ones who are buying into the narrative. They're buying into, you know, it's stupid. It's stupid.
Do you notice in the churches, we had a while, you know, went through a phase in the churches where they were saying, repeat after me, you know?
Yeah.
This
Say
is all
neighbor,
programming.
Tell your neighbor, your neighbor.
Hug your neighbor.
Yeah.
Turn
tell
to
your
the
neighbor,
left.
Neighbor.
Turn to the right.
Right. Neighbor, are your chains still on, neighbor? Do you have, are the chains still on your ankles, neighbor?
Yeah.
Idiot.
Oh, I
Idiot.
Know. That's all was a part of, you see how this slowly crept in all of this,
right.
You know. I mean, they even had music in there. Okay, turn to the left. Let's just get a little exercise. Turn to the right.
Yeah.
Hug that neighbor. Hug that, you know. Oh, geez.
Mm-hmm.
Nuts. That's a
Absolutely.
Part of the programming. It's all, you
sure.
know, these little
sure.
things that build up to now they're saying, you know, these blatant lies. And, you know, people in society and in the church even fall for this. How can you believe that? How can you believe that? Yeah, I mean, we have to ask that question. Go ahead. Let's let him talk.
No, I'm done. I'm done barking. I'm done.
I'm done barking.
Yeah.
Oh,
I'm done.
I'm letting you. We're venting. We're just venting.
That's it. I have to vent. I have to vent because I'm getting snow
yeah.
the next day. So I got to be mad. I got to be mad.
Yeah,
gotta be
we're
mad.
Getting it too, so.
Yeah,
yep.
yeah, you, yep. Okay, here's more.
Okay.
The present order has failed at many points, end quote. Samuel Zane Batten, the Baptist minister again, ends with the following, quote, which course will the people take? Some men will prefer one, and another men will choose the alternative. But one way or the other, society will take, and one way it must take, end quote. Now, if you are someone who is familiar with what has been stated in Klaus Schwab's book, COVID-19 and the Great Reset, or in the declarations made by Boris Johnson, or in the declarations made by Joe Biden, Emmanuel Macron, Angela Merkel, you would be hearing a nearly identical message. The almost exact same message as what was stated by the Baptist Samuel Zane Batten 100 years ago. The same proclamations as H.G. Wells. And you would hear the same proclamations made by Nebuchadnezzar. A new religion. A new cult, a new way and order of society, a reset of the old order. But to make this move into the new order successful, you need complete buy-in by everyone, every single human being on the planet. And there can't be one single molecule out of the control of the new artificial God, a God who is a lot better this time. But you need complete buy-in to fully transition an entire world into a new fully religious system, the kind of system as envisioned by Pastor Samuel Zane Batten, H.G. Wells, by Nebuchadnezzar. Civilization must be transitioned top-down, bottom-up, and inside-out. And there must be obedience. Complete obedience, and any of you who do not obey will be thrown into the fiery furnace. You will be excluded from the new society of the new artificial God. You will have your ability to make ends meet for you and for your family ended. You will have health care removed because you must obey, and you must be a faithful worshiper of the new religions of the new algorithmic world of the new God.
Yep, that's what they're going to do. They're going to start taking stuff away from people, and then people are going to say, no, don't take away my stuff. I'll bow. I'll kiss the toe of the Pope. I'll do whatever as long as you don't take away my stuff, especially my
right.
phone. Don't take away my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's how it starts.
Yep.
That's how it starts, sadly.
And think about it. What did Obama offer when, you know, free phones?
Yeah.
And people
sure.
for a free phone. If you will go with the agenda for just a free phone, you know, think about it. How easy is it? How easy was it? Okay, they got a free phone. That was easy. okay? You know, the people in society.
Mm-hmm.
Look, that's everyone in society I'm talking about.
Right.
Because I know people within my own family that voted for Obama, you know, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't about the phone. They didn't realize that, you know, they had a little business and realized that that business was going to be going downhill. You know, think of your business. This might ruin capitalism. And it's like, oh, no, it won't. No, it won't. No. He's going to help people.
Right.
Okay.
It's crazy.
Okay.
It's
yeah. Well, when you think about the agenda, you got to get rid of capitalism. It's just not going to work unless they can do that. And that's exactly what they're doing. It's, you know.
Yeah.
It's that easy. We can see it. We're fortunate right now because, I mean, we can see this happening before our eyes. There's no excuse for not seeing it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is, it's coming fast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the changes are coming, you know, your head just finished spinning from one change and it starts spinning again because here comes another change.
Right.
You know, and the changes
now,
are just
now
coming.
We're in the phase of reality. Is this real or not real? Is this really going on?
Right.
I mean, now you better be a great researcher. You got to, you know, really, because you're presented with two different angles of a thing, and you have to decide, this is all that confuses you.
Right.
Okay, is this happening? Who's going to buy this and who isn't? You know,
mm-hmm.
So you could have two people watch the same thing and come out with different outcomes, you know? They could say, well, you know, that's what they're playing at right now. That's the scary. And we know throughout history we've had many antichrists, you know, but there comes a time when it's narrowed down to one, the antichrist.
Yeah.
And that's the one who brings the return of Christ. So, you know, but so this has been going on 100 years. The Baptists were infiltrated by this Marxist. That Batten. Was his name Batten?
Right. Yeah.
So for 100 years. See?
Yeah. But, you know, the thing
they're
is...
They're resilient.
Yeah. The thing is, the guy's not really a Baptist. He's just using the name Baptist, but he's a faker.
Right. It's a Marxist posing as a Baptist.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Just different players 100 years later. That mission has been going on forever, and they've just taken it, just all the patience in the world to just plug this along, you know, slowly infiltrate.
Yep.
Amazing.
All right. Here's more.
You must understand, dear brothers and sisters, that there is nothing new under the sun. And what you also must realize is that sinful men, even men that call themselves Christians, because of the leading of the sin that is within their hearts, that are being led with corruption that is in their minds and souls, and sadly, that giant image of gold, that artificial god made by man, has been allowed to be wheeled into your sanctuaries, to be placed at your altars, to be carved out and shaved by technocrats, to be polished and crafted by Baptists. This rough beast, slouching towards Davos to be born, has been prepared before you were even born, to be brought in and to be placed in control of your church, of your family, of your city, of your state, of your nation, and of your world. And you are being told to obey. And men that you trusted, men that had calming voices and polished rhetoric, brought in the rough beast of the new artificial god for the new artificial cult. Now, how did this manifest itself today? Well, today it's called the Fourth Industrial Revolution. But it is no mere industrial revolution, and we will go into this in the future. And believe me, regardless of what consequences are before me, what dangers are around me, you and I will explore faithfully the causes of things, because we must win. I'm Michael O'Fallon, and this has been Public Occurrences, both foreign and domestic.
So this was a half hour, 28 minutes or so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. So, you know, we win because Christ won. You know, we're not going to, Scripture's going to be, to me, fulfilled, and that's the way it's going to go, and God's timing is perfect, and, you know, it is what it is. So
right.
What do you think about all that? I mean, if he was bold enough to say that's what he feels is the new world religion, I could agree with that right now. I could agree with that at this point. Will this grow? Yes. Then will it morph into something else, bigger? I don't know. What do you think? But it will involve technology and science, I can tell you that.
Yeah, I mean, it's you can't deny anything that the man said, because think about all the people that are saying the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, there's a lot of
yep.
people saying the same thing.
Exactly.
And, you know, is it a coincidence? No, it's not a coincidence. It's like they've all been handed the same script. They're all under the same inspiration
mm-hmm.
or spirit or demon, you know, and they're just
yeah.
puppets. And the puppet master is moving their mouths and voicing what he wants said.
Exactly.
That's, you know,
exactly.
This, I mean, I can't describe it any other way.
Well, if you think about it, they each one of these considered ministries, you know, they have a different, you know, agenda. It's the same agenda, but they just perform differently. If it's in the church, if it's in the world, it doesn't matter. Even YouTube, you know. They all have their function to bring this in, and they're all hoping that they could be a part of it. But what they don't realize, they're the ones that are fooled, you know, because at the end of the day, there's only going to be a few people or 10 starting out that reign, you see?
Right.
And that
mm-hmm.
starts dropping off, the 10
mm-hmm.
kings. So, and are they going to include certain people? Who knows? But I can tell you they'll have some people. But what
yeah.
is they're running on they're running in survival mode. They're going along with it because they want to protect themselves. And I don't think there's going to be any protection for them, because when these tyrants are done with them being used, they'll be out too.
Right.
So what do you think?
Well, when you protest, look, think about it. When you protest, let's say you protest Biden, what does he do? He gets rid of you. And not just
yeah.
him, but the whole news networks, all the news networks cancel you out.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody cancels you.
Yeah.
You're gone. You're history. So people don't want to pay that price of being canceled.
Mm-hmm.
So what do? Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, master. Yes, master. What do you want, master? You know? And,
yeah.
Look, Nebuchadnezzar had all those people falling in line except three Hebrew young men. And, of course, Daniel.
Yeah.
But all, you know, everybody else
yeah.
was dancing the jig. Everybody else
yep.
was going along with it. This is wonderful, Massa. Give us more, Massa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beat
yep.
us some more, Massa. We like getting beat, Massa.
Right.
Take our paycheck,
that's
Massa.
That's exactly it. Yeah.
You know, so, and, you know, never get us to say, hey, whoever doesn't dance to the jig gets thrown into the fiery furnace.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll dance. No problem. No problem.
Yeah. And we're going from, I think right now, we're going from, you know, you're being shunned at this point. We're shunning to persecution. That's what I think. Right now they're shunning you. Expect a persecution, you know.
Mm-hmm.
In some cases,
sure,
they do persecute the person. But, you know, I found it interesting that Albert Pike, you know, he was the bigwig head of the Masons. He was the Scottish Rite, part of the Scottish, which made him 33rd degree Mason. They have a higher in the Scottish Rite. So he said something interesting in Morals and Dogma. He said, when society needs a leader, we will provide one. Think about it.
Mm-hmm.
That's going off track,
yep.
But the, you know, the head of the Mason said that. When society
sure
needs a leader, we will provide one. So, I mean, this is such a mixture of different societies, different things with the Jesuits, the Knights of Columbus, you have. But if you go to the very top of it, you know, these are just the workers, you know. There's a head of this.
Right.
And that's
right.
Going to be, I think, our anecdote. You know, the Antichrist, not ours, but the Antichrist. I think that, you know, these are just like worker bees.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Protecting the queen bee at the top. And, you know, I think that they've had their usefulness in society to bring the agenda. They're being used. And it's beneficial right now for them. It won't be in the
mm-hmm
end.
But
right, think about, you know, think about the mega churches. As, you know, we need to look at this as how we can see this happening in society. But what about our churches? I mean, look at it that way. Let's look at the churches and how this has affected what's going on. Well, you see it. You saw it a long time ago with the Rome.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, but what a tragedy.
So that's one aspect of it.
Yeah.
You know.
What a tragedy.
Think about all the leaders that have sold out already.
Mm-hmm.
We aren't even there yet. I mean, we aren't at the point where, you know, it's doomsday or we're getting martyred yet. Yes.
Right.
If they've sold out already and they have their people selling out already, you know.
Well, here's the thing. We had COVID and there were people already willing and available to rat other people out and get paid for it, because the government was going to pay you to track people who had COVID
mm-hmm
and didn't get the shot. So it's
mm-hmm
already begun. And
yes,
by the next time they do something, they're not going to need those trackers. They're going to be able to track you already.
Right.
Right? So they needed them before. They're not going to need them in the future.
That's
correct.
It's
not.
Yeah. Well, I saw a news clip today where the electric company is using, instead of going out to find out where a problem is when you have a power outage, they're going to use drones to do that.
Wow. Yeah.
Which you could say, well, that's a good idea. Maybe they'll find it quicker. On one hand, you know, for people.
Yeah.
But, you know, on the other hand, they're already testing and using drones to find the outage, the source of the outage. Now, so that eliminates jobs, you know, people
sure
going out. They can send a crew out. instead of sending them all over?
Sure. It eliminates a truck. It eliminates gas. It eliminates a team to go looking for, you know. Sure. And pretty soon they're going to put a monitor on people to see if they're sleeping on the job. They'll know based on your heart rate if you're asleep or not.
Right.
Right?
Well, yeah. You know, in England, they had a lot of technology, believe it or not. You think England's behind the times. But they had a lot of technology, surveillance technology, years ago. And even in the 90s, if you drove a truck over there, you had to put a disc in the truck, and it would tell that disc that only came out when you arrived back to, let's say, to where you were working. The owner of the company could take the disc out, but or the police if they stop you. But they could tell how fast you traveled. You know, what speed you were doing and how far you drove and when you stopped back then. That was in the 90s we're talking about. So there were no log books like over here. It was all on disk. They had a little disk that you put in. And if you were pulled over, you had to turn that disk over to the police, you know, and they could read it. They knew. And then, you know, you get a new disc. That was going on in the 90s. Now, I thought that was weird back then. You know?
Sure.
I thought, that's weird, you know, that they're able to do that. And even with facial recognition, they've been doing that for a long time in England, and especially London. They could sit in, you know, an office and... let's say in a city center, in part of a city center, they could have their surveillance cameras on, and they could tell if a person had a felony or not, do his criminal record.
Wow.
That was in the 90s.
Wow. Yeah. They have a little bit of surveillance in my house. Like for example, when I finish this show, I'll go downstairs to get something to drink, and as soon as I pass where the kids are doing their homeschooling, my daughter Rachel will say, "Oh, Mom, Dad was sleeping," and
yes, the kids.
And my wife will say, "He was sleeping." She goes, "Yeah, his head is matted," and I said, "I just came from doing a show with Sister Marie. How could I be sleeping for two? I just did a show." And they'll go, "Look, his hair is matted. His hair is matted. He was sleeping on one side." And they're just so bad. Those kids are so bad. They are so bad.
They're funny. They're funny.
Yeah.
Like their mother. They got their mother, I'm telling you.
They're like their mother. They're like their mother. When I walk the dogs now, when I walk the two mongrels, nobody wants to walk them because, according to them, I didn't put salt out and it's all ice. So every time I walk them, the whole family's at the window. And if the dog pulls and I almost slip, my Rachel, who just brought me a hot chocolate, she will do the dance moves that I was doing on the ice, and everybody starts laughing. So...
they just do that to get a react. They want to see what's going to happen.
Right.
This is their comedy relief for the day, you know?
Exactly. So they're out there. They're at the window, especially Rachel's the comedian. She'll come in and she'll say, "Look, this is what Dad was doing when he was walking the dogs." And no respect. I get no respect.
You get no respect.
No respect.
You're doing a Rodney now. Rodney Dangerfield.
Exactly. By the way, I got to tell you, those pictures you sent me, your husband sent me those wonderful pictures. He is a talented photographer. Those pictures on those deers.
Yeah.
My wife does the same thing.
And those were...
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, he was just, he had, you said you want, you told him you wanted some, and he started, I said, he didn't ask for 1,000. Because he said, send
no,
this
but they
one.
Were,
send this
no,
one.
the deer, the birds, the different birds, they're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
They're beautiful.
Oh, he's
yeah.
got so much better than that, but he said, all he wanted, I thought about sending wildlife, because he's
right.
into that, you know, so I thought about sending
mm-hmm.
the wildlife ones, and those, a lot of them are outside, you know, that you're quite a distance. So
right.
I didn't think the quality of some of those were great, but he was looking at more the subject than
sure.
the quality
I
of
even
the
liked,
picture.
Yeah. There was even a building, an old dilapidated building in the woods,
yeah.
which I thought was very interesting. I really like that one too, because again, it's the subject matter, you know, it's you realize that somebody years ago lived in that house or that cabin and life was there and happiness was there. But when that person died, that place fell into ruin. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing. Like you think about Babylon of old or Assyria and those ancient nations that were once thriving and now they're in rubbles. They're in ruins.
Mm-hmm.
You know. So it's great pictures. Great. He's got a he's very talented. So hey, it's
he loves
look,
doing that.
Yeah.
He needs to be for the cost of that lens. I'm telling you.
Well, look. listen. I know that when you want to go on vacation, you get to go. You take Chico. He treats you good.
Yeah.
You get to go to restaurants. You get so, you know, the guy wants a lens. Okay, but look at all the stuff, you know, you get on the other. Look at me. I'm a good husband. I
We're
got a two monsters that I have to walk. And she doesn't. She just waves at them and says, come to Mama Dog. Mama Dog loves you. Oh, my baby boys, my two boys.
I know.
I'm the one outside picking up their mess. So.
Oh, I got one that's looking at me right now. He crawled up on my chest here, and he's looking at me in
sure,
the eyes.
Sure.
You know, he's wondering
he
who
wants
I'm
mommy
talking
time.
To.
Yeah, he wants mommy time.
Mommy time.
Yeah, sure. Sure.
Yeah, he's
absolutely
pretty special. So Linda takes pictures too. She's talented.
She was when she was in college, she was in a photography club, and and when I have a hard time thinking what I'm going to get her for her birthday or Christmas or whatever, I always get her a new camera. In fact, that's what I got her this year. I got her a new camera. And
great.
And so she's out taking pictures, because when we're driving, she'll say, stop the car. And I said, what happened? She says, I want to take that picture. I said, take a picture of what? And she's looking at the clouds, the sun coming through the clouds, and I have to pull
mm-hmm.
over. She's got to take the picture. And she's always doing that. So, I had to get her another camera because before she was
well, she and my husband would not get a mile down the road, because that's exactly
what he does.
I always say, pull over, get off the road if you're going to do that, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, wait
sure.
a minute, I see something here, you know?
Yes.
And,
right.
yeah. And
that's
then,
it.
You know, he puts the bird feeders, you know, out back and through the window there so that he can...
lure them.
You know,
lure
photograph.
Them to take pictures, yeah.
Yeah, and we get all kinds of birds here. But the problem was, like the one he put the feeder, I think it was, those little, I'm trying to think of that bird that flies in the air, and I can't think of the name of it, really fast. Hummingbird.
The hummingbird? Yeah.
We have a lot of hummingbirds, and they're kind of cool because he can slow down and flash, you know. Take them in midair and things like that. But
sure.
we had a hummingbird, and he put it right outside the back sliding door. He put a feeder there, and he was going to take pictures. Well, I'm looking at it, and I thought, this is so cool to watch those hummingbirds. And then a big a hawk come by and snatched the hummingbird. I know I was sick.
Oh.
I said, that's it. All I saw was a swinging, you know, they put this nectar in it. And all I saw was the nectar splashing. I thought,
should
have had a camera. I said, that's it. You're just baiting now the hog.
Right.
Oh, that was terrible.
Right.
Terrible. So,
yeah.
You know, what
amazing,
can you say?
Amazing. Sure.
Yeah.
Well, what are we doing next week on your show?
Well, next week we're going to do some moldy oldies. We're going to go back and take a look at how this, how our generation started to fall. How did this start, you know,
right. For
our generation? We're not going back, you know, way back, but we're going to see the downgrade in our generation. We're you know, and how it started. And the reason for that, for me, all these leaders now make the statement, you know, you're not in your grandmother's church,
right.
You know, anymore. And I thought, what a horrible thing that we had memories of what church should look like and what
right. Church
now and why revival is needed. I mean, technically, I thought of that yesterday. This is why our children and our grandchildren will never know what we had or what we felt or what we experienced in church.
Right.
So... and that's why revival's needed for that. But I just want to go back because there will be some people that are still in these churches and don't realize it. Even all the shows we've done, who knows, down the line here, someone could tune in and just say, wow, that's my church. And
we've had that
happen. I had that happen. So the audio I'm using... and I'll explain it next week, but the audio I'm using is one that when the churches were falling, in order to explain this, everything that was going on, when you don't have a platform, I sent an audio to people and said, listen to this. I had two people leave their church, recognize that they were in one of these churches because of the audio.
Wow.
And another, there was a few things off the audio I learned, and another person got out of their church. But, bro, I'm going to tell you, and I'll say this next week, part of your teaching on the bishops, that helped me to explain to someone else who left their church.
Right, because
you did that teaching on the bishops, someone left a church, they recognized that they were in that type of church that was headed in the wrong direction.
So we're
going to take a look. You know, it's a sad thing. You want to say, oh, when I was in church, I could remember grandma with a switch, you know? We dressed like the... It's so sad our kids will never know that unless we turn that around, unless... we start to see churches like that, you know, with good leaders, sound doctrine. So I thought it'd be an interesting to take a look back and just make sure that, you know, do a review and see where we're at, how we got here. Basically, how did we get in our generation to where we're at now? So we're going to look at how the leaven basically come in. So I thought it would be interesting, and, you know, I thought about it. Wow.
Looking forward to it. Yeah.
We just had
Looking
a military jet fly over. It just rattled my dishes.
Really?
My house. Even Chico stood up. Yes.
Wow.
Chico stood straight up wondering what it was. So.
Well, Chico
flying low.
Chico's ready to defend the castle is what Chico's ready to do. He's ready to throw down. He's ready to throw down like in the projects.
That's probably where, I don't know where, he's he came from Detroit, and I always said he was the second half of the thieving team.
Right.
Because he can run and grab something and take off with it faster than you can catch him. I said he was the second half. They'd send him in through the little hole in the door.
Sure.
Oh, I don't know.
Well, so, great show. Looking forward to next
thank
week.
You.
And you have the final word.
Well, thank you for a great conversation. There was a lot to talk about, you know, with this and consider. And, you know, I guess we'll just listen to the music and we'll see you next week. Have a great day. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Don't let me go. Take my mouth off. No,